You have your Bibles tonight. Turn to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28. That's not in the notes, Diane. I want to just talk about favor just for a minute, because how many know that we are favored by God? Say, I am favored by God. And it has nothing to do with me. So before we get to, you know, out with the chest and I'm blessed and highly favored conversation, the only reason we're favored is because of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we're on the outs with God. We can't approach Him. We can't talk to Him. We can't say anything unless it's in Jesus' name. We're outcast from heaven. We're accepted in the Beloved in Christ. And so we're blessed and highly favored because of Him. And I want to use just a couple of examples before I get into tonight's message. Is called The Call of a Generation. And I want to talk about that tonight. But I was thinking, Terry and I in our devotions the other morning, we were talking about Solomon in our yearly year reading through the Bible. We're at Solomon right now, if you've been reading along. Solomon took 700 wives and 300 concubines, the wisest, richest man in the world, and he turned his back on God. Completely lost his mind and turned his back on God. Served other gods, built temples, worshipped the god of the asterisk, worshipped the god of the Ammonites and the Moabites, built altars and spent large amounts of money for these temples that he worshipped in. Here's what God said to him. He said, because you've done this, I'm going to punish you, but I'm going to wait to punish you until you're dead. Because of your father, David, I'm going to take care of you. Till your death. And when Solomon died, if you read on, and you will if you read through the Bible, when Solomon died, the 12 tribes were rent in two. Two tribes went to Rehoboam and 10 went to Jeroboam. And after that, it was complete and total chaos that happened in the nation of Israel until the Messiah. It was absolute chaos. They'd have a righteous king, then have an evil king, then have a righteous king and an evil king. And it was never any better. But God, because of the promise that He made to David, held intact. He said, you'll get one tribe so that I will always have a light in Israel. There'll always be a candle, a light in Israel, because of God's promise. And here in Genesis chapter 28, we find that Jacob, how many know Jacob didn't do anything good? His name means usurper. He didn't do anything good. He lied, he stole, he disguised himself, he deceived, and his mother helped him do it. Are you there? And God moves a lot of things to converse with this guy. You know, he needs a spanking from God, and God ends up blessing him. And I want to talk about that just briefly. In chapter 28, verse 1, Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, now this is after Esau threatened his life and he runs from Esau. That's why he leaves. God said, Isaac said, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you. What? You stole your brother's birthright. You did all kinds of things, but may God bless you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. Now watch. Verse 10. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down at that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and south. and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." What? What was God talking about with Jacob? I mean, wasn't he there when Jacob usurped and stole and deceived and did all kinds of things? Where was God? Was he on vacation? Now I want you to see something. There's an earthly trial that we go through, an earthly thing that we go through, and there's a heavenly blessing that we're in. Jacob had to go through, if you read the story of Jacob, I mean, that guy, he goes and tries to be righteous. He wants to marry Rachel. He falls in love with her. They deceive him. Laban sends Leah into him, and he doesn't know it's Leah. I don't know how that happened, but anyway. He wakes up in the morning and it's Leah's his wife, and he promised to work 7 years for her, so now he's got to work 7 years for Rachel, and then he works another 7 years, 21 years of his life. He's under all kinds of duress, and it's 21 years later that he goes to meet Esau, and then his life begins to change, and God changes his name. But what I want you to see is all those trials, he was still blessed. God said, "I'll not leave you until I've done all that I said in you." Now, fast forward 3,500 years. Here we are, you and I, and we struggle sometimes. We say, "No, I'm blessed and highly favored. Why am I going through all of these struggles?" Watch, turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. That's 1 Timothy, Rick. 3 and verse 12. "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." What? Acts says that we, through much persecution, enter the kingdom of God. Much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. And we wonder, "God, you said we're favored," and we like to say we're favored, especially if you're Pentecostal. You like that. "I'm blessed and highly favored." And we wonder why we go through struggles. Well, you need to understand, you're blessed because of Jesus Christ. Your trials and tribulations is because we live on this earth. We can't escape the injustices, the sinful acts that people do, and the world that we live in. You say, "God, I'm supposed to be healthy. Why do I catch every cold that comes along? God, I'm supposed to be blessed. Why does the truck break down all the time?" We are blessed and highly favored because of Jesus Christ in heaven. We're going to suffer persecution and tribulation. That's just the way it is. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer tribulation and persecution. I'd like it to be somewhere different. That would be great. But most of us are old enough to know that's just not the way it is. And we find through those times that we cling stronger to the side that says we're blessed. Jacob, when he woke up that morning, he said, "This is an awesome place." He built an altar and said, "You know, if I make it, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not, but if I make it and come back here, I'll bless the Lord. The Lord will be my God." And he comes back, and later that's the same area that the temple was built on there in Bethel, the house of God. So I was thinking about that tonight. I was thinking, man, I am favored by God. And then I started going over the last 2 or 3 months and saying, favor column, tribulation column. I like it when you get a lot of favor and little tribulation. How many like that? More wins than losses. But sometimes in our life, we've got a lot more tribulation than we've got favor, it seems like. But listen, every time that God names our name before the throne, every time He fills us again with the Holy Spirit, He reminds us that we're being blessed and favored because of His Son, Jesus Christ. The only perfect one and the one that we live. Even when we're going through a bad time, God speaks to us and says, "I'm going to bless you. Everything you touch is going to be blessed. You'll be blessed coming in. You'll be blessed going out. You'll be blessed in a city. You'll be blessed in a country. The fruit of your loins will be blessed." And you go, "Woo, hallelujah." Sure doesn't seem like that right now. But it's a promise that's forever and eternal. Amen. Turn to Luke chapter 10 tonight. Luke chapter 10. That was just a little introduction there. Luke chapter 10. And I told Diane, this is my last message on evangelism. We can all go be Presbyterians after this. not talk about evangelism. How's that? Just kidding. God is positioning us and getting us ready for a great... You know, I was thinking about, I love all the churches in the community. I really do. But we're called for a certain stream, a certain lane that we've got to stay in. And one of the big things in our lane is signs, wonders, and miracles. That's one of the things that is in our lane, and God is favoring us, to speak of favor. He's favoring New Life Church with signs, wonders, miracles, deliverance, and salvations. How many know we're going to be a soul-saving station? Soul-saving station. Get people in here, get them saved, get them healed, get them delivered, train them up, send them out. And I believe that's a direct call of Jesus Christ. I can't speak for other churches, but I know what God has sent us to do. Luke chapter 10, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, if he'd have stopped right there, that'd have been really neat. Yeah, we'll pray for laborers. But look at the next verse. Go your way, laborers. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals, and greet no one along the road, but whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking. Such thing as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Watch verse 9. Heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. That's a whole message in and of itself. The kingdom of God, the government of God, the ecclesia of God has come near to you. Something happens when a church, an organism in a community begins to draw their power from God and speak only what God says. Something happens, something of a shift happens in an area whenever that takes place. But whatever city you enter, verse 10, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say the very dust of your city which claims. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable in verse 12. Now, I want to talk just a little bit about some points if you're taking notes tonight. Number one, I want to remind you that the Lord has commissioned us. The Lord has already commissioned us to go out. We don't have to wait for any commissioning. We don't have to wait till a certain time. All of us have been sent to do the work of the Lord. You do not need to hear a command to go. If you're praying and you're on your knees and you're saying, God, if you want me to go, speak to me. God already told you to go. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. That was spoken to the ones that saw him ascending into heaven, but in their loins, you and I were. There are spiritual parents, there are spiritual fathers and mothers that heard that, and it's been passed down just as surely as the seed of God has been passed down. That commandment has been passed on. You don't need to hear whether you're supposed to go. Say, well, I need to pray about that. Should I witness? Should I go? No. You need to hear a word from God that to stay, to not go, to not speak, and to not minister. And if you do me a large favor, if you hear that from God, come and tell me. If you hear from God, no, I'm not supposed to go. I'm supposed to stay. I'm not supposed to go out. I'm not supposed to speak. I'm not supposed to minister. I'm not supposed to lay hands on the sick. Come and speak with me. I just don't think that's God. I could be wrong. I'm willing to be corrected, but I don't think that's the Lord. We're called to go. The Lord has commissioned you. Number two, the Lord has equipped you. Don't worry about what you'll say or what you'll do. Listen, God spoke to Jacob when he had that dream and he said, I bless you. Wherever you go, your descendants will be like the sand of the sea. What do you mean they're going to be like the sand? I don't even know who you are. I don't know where the breakdown between Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were, but Jacob didn't even know. He says, if you be the God, you be the right one, and I survive, I'll come back and worship you. God blessed him. God is blessing you. He's equipped you. The Lord of the harvest is sending laborers, and guess what? Turn to somebody and say, you a laborer. You a laborer. They are us. We have been divinely equipped for the task. Now, what does that look like? Some of us are not able to go out and beat the streets all the time. And I understand that our personalities are different. And it may be told that the people that guarded the equipment during the taking of the land were blessed just like the people that went to war. Guarding the equipment is praying and interceding and believing, fasting, and everybody's involved when revival comes, a revolution begins. He has filled us and given us everything needed. As I pray for new life, I say, God, send us workers. Send us high impact, low maintenance people. And I know that God is equipping us and sending us. It may be painstakingly slow. But 3 years ago, there was no Brad Dalton. Are you there? 4.5 years ago, there was no John Hayes. John and Ashley. And these are people that, that are setting the pace, these young people. I say bring a lot more young people. God, bring 40 and below. Amen. It was 40 and below, by the way, that took the land. Wasn't it? Wasn't it the people that were 40 and below that took the land? Was it 40 and below? Or 20 and below? Was it 20 and below? Young kids. Again, the disciples were all under 21, 22 years of age. All 12 disciples. How many know we need young people? Yeah, 60. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it was under 20. You're right. So the Lord has equipped you. He has filled us with everything we need. And He's positioning. He sets a solitary in families, the Scripture says. He is identifying our gifts and putting us where we belong. All of us are here because God sent us here. The Lord, number three, has petitioned you. Not only has He commissioned and equipped you, He's petitioned you. He's asked you personally. His Holy Spirit has never failed to remind you the responsibility that is yours. If you're spending any time with God, God is laying on your heart the same thing He's laying on mine. This is a generation that I love, and I'm calling to myself. I'm asking you to put me first. I'm asking you to name my name when you speak with people. I'm asking you to pray a little bit longer and name these names before the throne so I can dispense angels and I can dispense Holy Spirit and I can dispense the gifts and I can dispense the fruits. And by golly, it's going to get done, see? And that's why some of us are hard-pressed to get into the prayer closet, because when we get there, we know what we're going to hear. We know what we're going to hear. And it's a wonderful thing. The voice of the Lord petitioning you. He has joined with us in oneness with us because He wants to use us in a great way. He could bypass us. We talked about that. He could use something else. He could do another thing. But He's chosen to use us for His glory. No one in this room is exempt from the call and commission of God. No one. I don't care how inept you feel. You're a gifted person. If you have Jesus Christ living in you, you're a gifted person. Come on, someone. You're a gifted person. Number four, the Lord has sent you. That's past tense. When He sent out the 12 in Mark chapter 6, He said, so they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Come on, someone. God's sending us out for what? For victory. Yeah, we're going to go through tribulation. Yeah, we're going to go through rejection. Yeah, we're going to, when people, they'll deliver you up. Jesus said later on, and when He sent out the seven, or sent out the 12, if you look when He sent out the 12, He said, you'll go before kings in my name, but they're going to deliver you up for persecution. And when you get there, I'll fill your mouth and tell you what to speak. Yeah, of course. The enemy is going to get stirred up. But he has nothing to do with us. We have all authority over all the power of the enemy. Somebody say amen. See, the Lord has sent us. The self-same anointing rests on you that were on the disciples when they went out and cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick. They were only trained a year and a half to this point. You and I'm looking at people that have been with Christ 20, 30 years. We have all we need, folks. The Lord, number five, has provided for you. Wherever He sends you and whatever you do for Him, you will be taken care of. It's a promise. God's going to take care of you. Hello. One of these days we'll have a discussion. We'll go around the room and tell where God didn't provide for us. It'll be a boring time. Because not one person in here could say God's never provided for me. Most of us in this room would not be here if it weren't for God's grace. We wouldn't be here. We'd be dead. Dead. Not just gone. We'd be dead. God's grace and mercy is upon us. And He not only has commissioned us and equipped us and petitioned us and sent us and provided for us, He also has anointed us. We're anointed. Say, I am anointed. It's not because of you. Don't say, I don't feel very anointed. I haven't been very good. I haven't prayed. I haven't done this. That's a works gospel. And that keeps us. The enemy wants to keep us in the works category. So we think, man, I haven't done enough. No, Jesus already did it. Jesus already did it. He's looking for us to be used. But when you lay your hands upon someone, when you speak, when you take authority over demons, expect a victory. Don't let demons intimidate you. Don't let people intimidate you. Just speak the word of the Lord to them. When you lay hands on them, expect a miracle. All of us have been there. We see somebody sick. We're out witnessing to somebody, or even in church, you turn to somebody and say, oh, you're hurting. Let me pray with you. And you pray with them. And we just don't have the faith that they're going to be healed. We think, well, somebody else should have prayed for them. We're thinking, well, we're praying for them. Man, I didn't even have my devotions this morning. I hit my finger with a hammer and said the wrong thing 2 days ago. God's not, it has nothing to do with it. God will use you by faith. He'll deal with you in those realms. That's dealing with us in the natural. In the supernatural, God is going to use us. Why? Because we're connected directly to the head. When we speak in spite of Jesus. In the place of Jesus when we speak. All power and authority is given to us. We're anointed. I'm blessed and highly favored, and I'm anointed because of Jesus Christ. See? I'm not anointed because of me. Thank God it's not due to me. The Lord has anointed us. Understand that you are speaking for Jesus Himself, and all the authority of heaven backs your words. Why? Because God is not going to be shortchanged. He is not going to be left out of the thing. He's going to show up when you mention His name. He's going to do it. See, these things are guaranteed, the guaranteed gospel of Jesus Christ. If all of these things are just in the theory realm, we're in trouble. Man, you go overseas and some of these things, I'm reading some of the things that's happening worldwide right now. These people are speaking the word of the Lord like it's supposed to be spoke and believing. People are being raised from the dead, things are being healed. You hear all kinds of bad things about them, but go to one of their places where 3 or 4 people were raised from the dead and see how much they say. And they're living it. See? What we in the United States have created a realm, I don't know what it is, this pall that hangs over our nation and hangs over the churches, like we have to apologize for who we are. No, the Lord has anointed us. And when we speak the word of the Lord, people listen. Jesus spoke and He said, the kingdom of God has come near you, and He preached. And it says that the people heard Him and said, no one has ever spoke like this. Just open your mouth. God will fill it. I guarantee it. Not only has the Lord anointed you, but He has authorized you. He has authorized you. Don't be looking around to others to fulfill what you have been called to do. Your destiny is directly tied to your calling. Your destiny is directly tied to your calling. To the extent that you've obeyed the calling is the extent of the blessing upon your life. If you're running from God, if you're hedging your bets, you're saying, I don't want to get involved too much because I may fail. The righteous man falls, but he rises. I was in a bad way with my wife. We were going through a really tough time in ministry. And so we took a drive one day and went out into another time we had never been in. We want to get, anybody ever just want to escape? Don't leave me hanging. Anybody ever just want to escape? So we drove a couple hours. We ended up in a Burger King for lunch. And I'm feeling like the most unanointed person in the whole world. I don't even want to, it was a struggle to pray over the food. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, bless the food. Just eating. And all of a sudden this lady over in the corner started to hack and cough, and she started turning blue then purple. And everybody's like freaking out. This lady is choking on, I forget what she had in her throat. I don't remember. But I ran over there and did the Heimlich on her, and she spit the thing out, and the anointing came. And I mean, the anointing came. And I knew I was favored by God. I was supposed to be. We traveled in the car. We hardly talked to one another. We didn't want to say anything. We just wanted to get away and forget the whole deal. And we got there, and God said, I brought you here to save this person's life because I've anointed you. Nobody else in that restaurant, which is pretty full for lunchtime, nobody else ran over there and grabbed her. How many believe that God sent me 2 hours out of my way because a person was going to be choking, and he was blessing that person with life and blessing me, reminding me that I was anointed? What a healing that took place in me. See, awareness brings victory. When I understood why God had sent me there in the well, like I said, it's one of the few times that Terry and I's company wasn't the best in the world, but God set things straight. We had a wonderful time going back. It was funny because I stood at the door and shook hands. Everybody was leaving after lunch and going, it was like I was in church. Good job. Great. You know. Be aware and act on what God has been trying to tell you all these years. Be aware that you're called. If you failed before, so what? This is a message for the body of Christ at large. It is time to beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks. It is time to beat our swords, the things that we've used to cut people up and cut things up and tell how bad it is, and I hope Jesus comes back soon, and get to work, plowshares, plowing the fields, and our spears into pruning hooks, going out and getting the harvest and bringing it in. It's time to do that. It's time to do that, my friend. It's time to do that. Do you not know? 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians has that statement many times, and I want to share just a few of them with you. Number one, Paul reminds us that we are the temple of God. He says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" If you've never done a 3:16 study, do all the 3:16s in the Bible. It's pretty neat. Pretty neat. 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Can you imagine that? I don't care how you feel. Feelings are... doesn't have anything to do with it. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, He dwells in you all the time, 24/7. Come on, somebody. He doesn't come and visit and leave and visit and leave. I feel more anointed when I'm in it. Ooh, every time I go to church, I feel the Spirit of God. Well, what's the matter with the other 166 hours of the week? He's no more in you here than He is out there. It's just your focus, where you're focusing. I'm blessed and highly favored. Yeah, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm covered with sweat. I'm out doing the garden. I'm still blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed and highly favored when I'm in a rush and I'm in the store. I'm blessed and highly favored all the time. See? Do you not know you're the temple of God? Secondly, it's not about you. It's not about you. Watch in 1 Corinthians 5:6. It says, "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens a whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened." It's not about you. Get rid of the sin. Get rid of the sin. Get rid of those struggles. But understand that you are anointed by God. Number three, we will judge the world one day. This is all training. Do you know we'll judge the world one day? Where does it say that? Right here. 1 Corinthians 6:2. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? This is training for you and I. Praise God. Come on, somebody get Pentecostal tonight. We are going to judge one day the world. God, the Spirit of God lives in us. We are to go forth and conquer in God. Number four, we will judge angels. Only we'll judge the world, we'll judge angels. 1 Corinthians 6:3. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? You say, well, the right congressman is not in. The right mayor is not in. Oh, poppycock. It doesn't matter who's sitting in that chair. I'm supposed to honor the king. I'm supposed to pray for them. But if they're not speaking the word of the Lord, and I am, the authority of the Lord trumps the mayor, the president, the congressman, the Supreme Court justice. The word of the Lord trumps them. I don't care what the law says. Most of what we do is not law anyway. Abortion was never made a law. Prayer in schools was never made a law. But those are things that we succumb to and that we're afraid of. I'm hearing a lot of talk about, you know, the tax-exempt status should be taken from churches. Take it already. I don't care. Take it. Allow me to speak the word of the Lord over the next vote. I'll be standing at polling places preaching the word of God. Get righteous men and women in positions of authority and see what God does to bless this nation. Come on, someone. Number five, a very scary point. And it keeps us on our knees. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? That does two things. It causes us to pray and it brings an awareness to our heart. Because there are some pretty mean people out there saying some pretty mean things. Especially as of late with President Trump doing some things, and I'm reading some very scary things coming from the liberals. Things like we should shut Christians up. Bernie Sanders has been saying Christianity is causing all kinds of things, including global warming. Yeah, it's our fault. It's Christians' fault. It's global warming. It's because we've been so nice to other countries, and we're guilty. Forget the United States is something like around 3 or 4% of the world's pollution, but we're the ones that are the bad people. And Christians are bad because we have so much love for people. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom. Now, we think about that in future tense, but let me tell you something tonight. We are inheriting the kingdom now. The kingdom of God has come near you, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said. This is not something we're going to wait for. The kingdom of God is here. It's being established through our steps. Why? Not because of us, but because God promised Jesus, sit here till I make your enemies a footstool for you. Psalm 110. Come on, someone. Sit here till I make your enemies a footstool for you. How is he going to do that? You and me. By establishing righteousness. By drawing the line. By delineating between darkness and light. Just heard where the Southern Baptists are having their convention. Southern Baptists are taking the genderless Bible and making it their Bible. The largest Christian organization outside of Catholicism is Southern Baptist, and they're taking the genderless Bible and making it part of their. No he's or she's. No he's or she's. Taking he and she out of it. So it's people, person, instead of he or she. They can do whatever they want. Yes, they can. They are taking it out. And so we're seeing giant denominations that shook the world falling. They're falling. They're falling to the pressure to conform to the world and still be salient, still be, they're losing. There's more people leaving the Southern Baptist in the last 10 years than ever before. I don't want to rejoice over that. I want them to repent. They're our brothers and sisters. I'm not rejoicing over that. I'm not saying good for them. It's a sad thing when another voice is lost in the mix. Yes. God so loved the world that He gave. Yeah. Not going to say that anymore. That God gave. God so loved the world that God gave His only begotten. Probably taken out Son. I don't know. You have to read it. I'm not going to read it, but you can. We need to understand that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom. It's a sad thing. We're not looking for it to happen. But it's just as much truth as the righteous will inherit. Paul writes to the Corinthian church and he said, there must be divisions among you that those who are blessed by me may be seen. That's what he said. It's a hard thing to turn our backs on people, but that's what we have to do sometimes. I'm talking about the enemies of the cross. Paul writes various times in his letter to the Corinthians, he said, treat them as an unbeliever. Number six, we are members of Christ. We are members of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? Certainly not. We are members with Christ. In other words, we're part of the body of Christ. No matter how much we feel like we're not, we are. We're His arms, we're His feet, we're His eyes, we're His ears. We are coordinating with heaven to walk, talk, and act just like Jesus does. Do you not know? It's a wake-up call. And for the past couple of years, I've just been so sad about what I see in the trend of the church and the world. It never is any good when you compromise. No matter how slightly you compromise the word, it makes us lose power and anointing when we compromise. Come on, someone. Number seven, our very bodies belong to God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Wow. Wow. We have a choice. We have a choice always. We have free will. But I need to remind myself that this body that God gave me, no matter how old it gets, still belongs to God. And I need to treat it like it belongs to God. Come on, someone. We need ownership in this. We need ownership in this. Somebody that doesn't have ownership doesn't care about things. That's why it's a nightmare sometimes when you rent property and rent a building. Somebody rents the building from you, it's not theirs, they tear it up, put holes in the wall, and then they move out. This is just a temporary tent, but it belongs to God. This is God's property. And the lease says that we'll take care of it. That's what the lease says, to take care of it. We didn't have to put a deposit. The Holy Spirit did that. We didn't have to pay first and last month's rent. Jesus took care of it. Come on, somebody. Your body is not your own. Do you not know? You say, well, I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough. Man, get the right amount of sleep, eat the right food, do the right thing, take care of your body. Because God is calling on every one of us for active duty. Every one of us. And the excuses that we use are just not going to hold up what I see according to the Word. Number eight, we are running for a prize. Not a competition, but we are all running. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 9 says, 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. I know it's difficult. I know you're probably saying, man, when's this guy going to get off this thing? Probably not for a while. This is what I'm hearing from heaven, and I'm sure you're hearing the same thing. And this is not an all way of, this is an encouraging word tonight. Because this is what heaven's saying. Get with it, man. The harvest is ripe. Let's get the harvest in. All the other things, all the other neat things, the singing and the goosebumps and the deal and the hugs and the love and the things, we'll do that all. man, that's going to last a long time. I got about, the list goes bigger and bigger, but I got about 1,000 people I want to hug as soon as I get to heaven. You know? Come on, someone. I want to hug Samuel. I just want to walk up to Sam and say, Samuel, every word you spoke never fell to the ground. And you heard God at a small age. Why don't you tell me about it? Come on, someone. We're going to do all of that. We're going to have fun. We're going to continue to love one another and grow to know one another. But there's the lost out there that need to hear what we have. And they need to be set free. They need to be made free in Jesus. They need to be delivered. Demons need to be cast out. Healings need to take place. Souls need to be saved. And lastly, number 9, Jesus Christ is in you. We just read a little bit earlier, the Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, houses in you. Jesus said, I and the Father come and will make our abode in you. God in three persons, blessed Trinity, lives in me. You realize what a blessing that is? We have thoughts we think are ours. They're not ours, they're Christ's. Our thoughts usually bungle up the whole thing. Jesus Christ is in you. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? It's a rhetorical question. He's reminding us, kind of shaking us awake, Jesus Christ is in you. And you know, you can always tell. Am I the only one? You go to say something that you know God doesn't want you to say, and there's a little tweak there. Don't say that. Anybody ever heard that? Don't say that. Don't you open your mouth and say, and when we do, and when it's coming out, God is dealing with us. God is dealing with us. And if you're anything like me, sometimes my mouth is going faster than my ear is hearing God. And I have to repent. But that doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is not in me. He's in me all the time. I will never leave or forsake you is such one of the greatest promises in the Word of God. The authenticity of the Word, the call of a generation is upon us. I'd like to believe that generations before us have done what they were supposed to do. Some haven't. Some generations lost it. I believe every third generation is attacked tremendously by the enemy. As you get three generations serving God, you've got an extended long-term revival. Every third generation. Do a study historically. Every time a third generation of godly citizens are raised, all hell breaks loose. Because the enemy knows that it's going to be a dynasty, a spiritual dynasty. When grandparents, great-grandparents, and children, and parents, great-grandparents, and three. Sons, fathers, and grandfathers are serving the Lord all together at one time. And I believe that can happen in our generation. I believe God. That's why everybody's living so old. Come on. So over this next couple of months, we're going to be talking about nursing homes and prisons and things that we can get out and preach the Word of God to people. Come on, someone. It's time to get out and do the work of the Lord. He sent us a long time ago. And His prayer is that we go. Go and make disciples. So, Father, tonight I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that, Lord, You are positioning us for greatness here in this community. I believe that with all my heart. I'm going to keep preaching it till I can't preach it anymore. This is the time of Your anointing. It's a time for Your power to be known in this community through our church, through other churches that simply obey You. And I can't answer for them. I don't know what's going on there. I know some people. I know their pastors. But God, here at New Life, we commit together, the very core group of people that come out every Wednesday and every Sunday. Father, I'm sitting with them now, people that I love so dearly. Father, stir our hearts to action. We pray for those, oh Father, that call themselves part of this church. I pray that You would bless each and every one with the same weight of glory and the same commandment that You've given us that You would give them. Help us to move as one, Father, and realize that we are not only called by You, but we are filled by You, we are sanctioned by You, we are authorized by You, anointed by You. Father, all the things You took care of. And Lord, I believe that every person that's here, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, people that serve, Father, in every area You have placed us strategically. And there are those amongst us that have yet to be raised up in those positions, Father. So we pray, God, that we would get our house in order, keep it in order for those that are not yet here. Father, we pray for the lost. We pray for those that are in this community. We pray for the ones that are in other counties and surrounding areas that will come. Father, we pray for them. They're not yet here, but we pray for them. They'd be drawn, God. We are like You, Father, standing on the porch, looking down the lane, waiting for the prodigal to come back. God, we call those people. Father, I just met somebody the other day that used to be here. Father, I pray, and I prayed for them then, I'll pray for them again. Lord, that You bring them, draw them. God, back, draw them to Yourself, Father. Please forgive us for cutting people off. Please forgive us for bad attitudes, God. Please cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we as spiritual sons and daughters that house the living God in us, those of us that will judge angels, God, that we would know how to move and how to carry ourselves. We would know how to come in and go out and find pasture in You, Jesus. Lord, let Your authority reign in each of us. Father, I pray for each one. Lord, again, we pray for the upcoming meetings. Pray, oh God, that You would move mightily. And Father, that You would circumvent all the things that the enemy has planned. We come against it in Jesus' name. We come against the curse that has been on this community for so long. We break its hold in the name of Jesus. May the anointing of the last century come upon us, Father, in the name of Jesus in this area. The seeds that have been planted in the ground, the soil would bring forth its fruit, God, and that we would be ready to turn our plowshare, our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks, bringing in the least, the last, and the lost. I pray for each and every one, God, according to Your loving kindness and mercy. Lord, I thank You for making it happen in us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.